Our text for today is a portion of the historic epistle lesson for this past Sunday, taken from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Back in the 1800s, many people who emigrated from European countries to the shores of the United States sent back letters to their loved ones in the old country telling them of the great prosperity over here that they could find if they just came to these shores. And many people sold all that they had in European countries and packed everything they could find into a little chest and traveled across the sea and came to this land. Quite a few of them, however, ended up getting kind of disappointed. What they had heard about in the letters didn't always come quite so true. Same thing happened after the Civil War. There were many of the freed slaves in the South who heard about wonderful job opportunities and wealth and prosperity that they could find up in the cities in the North, Chicago and Cleveland and so on. And they hopped on trains to get up there and soon found that life could be just as difficult up there as it had been for them down in the South. There's a longing inside of the heart of people to get something better. There's a longing inside of us to want life to be better. As good as this life can be, there's still this sensation in us that it's not quite where I'd like it to be. It's not as good yet as I would prefer. And so in our hearts, there is this deep yearning and longing for something that is better than we have right now. And yet, so frequently, we think we're going to go find it in a certain thing or a person or in a new position or possibly in some new financial windfall that can come to us. And yet we still end up feeling so disappointed in this life. Even though for a while it may provide us with some satisfaction, that sense of feeling better starts to leave us again. It's fleeting. Now, Paul is talking about in our text an eternal home that God has prepared for us that is so far different than anything we have in this life. And it's not something that's going to fly away and be fleeting. And this eternal city of heaven that he's talking about us going towards in this life, he says that God has appointed us to this. God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. That's a great Greek word, the word for appoint. It has to do with putting something in a place where you want it to be. To decide in your mind and in your heart exactly where something should go. That's the word that God uses to describe how you, as a Christian, have been appointed to heaven. Now just let that sink in for a second. God, in his grace and love for you, has appointed you, has established in his heart and mind that he wants you to come to that beautiful city of heaven, the New Jerusalem. You know, we can sometimes talk about heaven and hear about it and kind of relegate it into the realm of theoretical things and almost like a fantasy land because it's so hard for us to comprehend what it could be like in this life. But Paul is writing about this city, as do all of the writers of Scripture. He's writing about the city of heaven as something that is truly there, waiting for us, all prepared, and we already have it. We already possess it through faith in Christ. Now, ironically, in this life, if you're like I am, I can find myself just to show you how little I can appreciate how fantastic heaven is going to be, I can tell that by how rarely I pray in my own heart, unless it's in a corporate worship setting, how rarely I pray in my heart that the Lord Jesus would come and take us out of here. That's how foolishly attached I can be to the things of this life, as if somehow this is some great place. Martin Luther always had a kind of great crass way of saying things, and he said, I've always loved this one, he said that when we finally walk through the doors of heaven and see how fantastic it is, and then look back on life and remember how kind of careless we were about Christ and everything, he said we're going to spit on ourselves to realize what a tremendous, beautiful, wonderful home that God has appointed us to through faith in Christ. And you have been given that appointment in the waters of baptism, in his word that has entered your heart, that's caused you and me to realize that we could never get to that city in heaven. We could never get there by ourselves. We know how sinful and weak we are. We know what our lives are like, what our record would be like. But God, in his grace and mercy, has provided a Savior. He's provided Christ for you to go to the cross, to take every ounce of your guilt with him there and to pay for them, to make atonement, to cleanse you by his blood, to grant you, to just give you as a gift his holy, perfect righteousness that you will now be dressed in on judgment day as you stand before God. He's given you the promise and the guarantee of your own physical body rising out of your grave someday, being reunited with your soul and getting to go through those doors of heaven. You have all of that through God's appointment granted to you through this faith in Christ, that right now that little thing in you that so weakly is holding on saying, yes, I know I need what Jesus did for me and I need my sins forgiven. And I'm looking forward to heaven. And God doesn't want you to lose what he has appointed you for. He doesn't want you to go back to the foolish, meaningless, pagan-filled ideas of this world and act like somehow this is where your life is. He doesn't want us to forget how fantastic our eternal home is, and that's what we're really living for and what we're longing for in this life. He doesn't want us to fall into the spiritual anesthesia of this world that forgets how fantastic our heavenly home truly is. When I came to Bethany College, I didn't know how to drive a stick shift. And I had a friend that I had known from grade school and from camp days and showed up here at college with me named Joel. And he'd grown up on a farm. And Joel knew how to drive stick shift, because he'd grown up on a farm. And he taught me and some of my friends how to drive stick shift in his old Volkswagen. Just to show you how bored we were, when I was at Bethany, he would take us out in the back of his Volkswagen, and I would lie down and I would cover my eyes so I couldn't see where we were, and he'd drive me around town, and I'd have to try to guess where we were in town, because I grew up in Mankato. That's life in the 70s. It was a great entertainment. Joel was one of my best friends. And when my mom passed away, he sent me a wonderful card reminding me about looking forward to seeing her in heaven and so on. I just saw him. I roomed with him for about 18 months. I just saw him the other day at the Bethany play. He was just here at our theater that Friday night of the plays. On Wednesday morning last week, I found out he died. In 45 minutes, I'll be going to his funeral. We just don't know how long God is going to give us in this life. We'd like to think we're all going to get white hair someday and get to live into our 90s, but that just may not happen. He may take you at 48. He may take you at 28. And so at whatever stage of life we're in, may we always pray with Moses, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Because the home that Christ has won for us and what you have been appointed to by God's grace is, there's nothing in this world that is worth losing that over. And so may we pray, even so, Lord Jesus, quickly come and take us home. Amen. Let me pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, make us watchful and heedful in awaiting the coming of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that when he shall stand at the door and knock, he may find us not sleeping in carelessness and sin, but awake and rejoicing in his appearance. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.